Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
The sermon for today, the first Sunday after Trinity, entitled Trinity Season, the Teachings of Christ. The Trinity season brings us to the second major phase of the Church's calendar. The period from Advent through Whitsuntide presents the main events in Christ's life, so we can think about them and how they apply to us. Advent, his coming again; Christmas, his birth; Epiphany, his showing to the world; Lent, his testing; Passiontide, his suffering and death; then finally, in the 50 days following Easter, his resurrection, his ascension, and the coming of the Holy Ghost. Trinity season focuses more on the teachings of Jesus than on the teachings about Jesus, which occupy the first part of the year. That is not a hard and fast division, but it is roughly the way it is. One of the things which is most characteristic of Jesus' teaching is his use of parables, stories, either factual or fictional, which tell something about God. We shall be looking at several of Jesus' parables in Trinity Tide. The first one is the story of the rich man and Lazarus, which is this morning's gospel. It seems obvious that the best reason for teaching in parables is that stories are easier to remember than propositions are. The whole Old Testament, for example, is one long parable. Instead of giving us a list of facts about himself, God tells the story of Israel to show what he is like and how he deals with human beings. The story of Jesus' life is also a parable about the nature of God. While never denying that stories are a good way to teach, Jesus says that an even more important purpose of parables is to separate people who get it from people who don't get it. He tells the disciples, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." So parables are a test for us, not so much a test of intelligence, but of our capacity for spiritual insight. If you always draw a blank when you hear one of the parables, then you need to ask the Holy Ghost to help you understand them. One of the reasons God puts his Spirit in us is to help us understand Jesus. Coming to Bible study can't help either. Today's parable is a fairly complicated one. It makes a couple of points which are fairly obvious, but it has some other depths that may take a while to puzzle out. Its most direct teaching is that if you refuse to help poor people, you're going to end up in hell. Jesus describes a rich man lavishly and a beggar named Lazarus luridly. The rich man doesn't help the beggar, and when he gets to the next world, he is extremely thirsty because hell is hot. It's hell degrees here. Jesus takes a Jewish idea about the afterlife, that good people go to the bosom of Abraham when they die and bad people fry, to make some other points. When the rich man asks for a drink of water, Abraham tells him that the tables are turned now. The rich man had all of these advantages on earth, but now his situation and the beggar's situation are reversed. And anyway, the gulf between the good place and the bad place is so wide, nobody can get across, no matter why they want to. For the first time, the rich man thinks of someone other than himself. He asks Abraham to send Lazarus to the house where his five brothers live. His idea is that if they find out that the consequences of selfishness in this world is hell in the next, maybe they will shape up and break the family pattern. Abraham says, Your brothers are Jews. Their Bible says you should share with poor people. They don't need to hear it from Lazarus. They can read about it there. The rich man replies more or less, nobody in my family takes religion that seriously, so you can forget about that. But if my brothers see a dead beggar can come back to life and start talking, that attention, and they will change their ways. Abraham responds, if they won't listen to what is in the scriptures, they're not going to pay attention even if somebody comes back from the dead. So the parable ends with a twist. The twist shows that the parable is not just about how one ought to treat the poor. It is also about the importance of knowing and obeying the Bible and about the reaction of many Jews to the resurrection of Jesus. They couldn't believe that Jesus had risen because they didn't really understand their own scriptures. It is certainly more effective and memorable to tell this colorful story than merely to say, help the poor or you'll end up in hell. Read your Bible and take what it says seriously. And if you don't know God and His Word, His miracles won't reach you either. But the parable is not finally just a riddle to figure out. It is a challenge to us to change our ways. Our vestry gave money to the poor on the parish's behalf this week, as we always do. Our monthly food collection is coming up. Those things are a beginning. We have 4 Bible classes a week to help you hear Moses and the prophets more clearly. Would that we did. All of this comes together in worship. And today's worship poses a question. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed as is most justly due, almighty power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen.